Well, back here at home in Washington, Congress is one step closer to adopting the most significant immigration overhaul in decades. Yesterday, the Senate passed Senate Bill 744 with bipartisan support, the kind rarely seen on Capitol Hill these days. 14 Republicans joined Democrats to support that bill. But here's a question. How many senators voted yes because they know that Senate bill will never become law? Now that bill is headed to the Republican-controlled House, where Speaker John Boehner has promised the House will reply with a bill of its own. It will not vote on the Senate bill, he says. And we already know that that House bill will be far different. But Diana Furchtgott-Roth is a senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute and former chief economist in the Bush U.S. Department of Labor from 2003 to 2005, thinks the economic benefits of the Senate plan may be too good to pass up. And she joins me now. Hi, Diana.
It's great to be with you.
Thanks for joining us. We've heard during the debate how the Senate bill cuts the debt and may grow the economy just in the most general terms. Is that what you like best about the bill? Explain how that works.
Well, it works because if we have more immigrants, we have more people who can work here, then our economic growth rises, just as the way if someone were to come and sprinkle a lot more factories over the United States, everyone would say, great, we're going to have more production. Well, if we have more labor in the United States, we also have more production. And immigrant labor complements the skills of the U.S. workforce. So the skills of native-born Americans are in a bell-shaped curve. We don't have many adults without high school diplomas. We don't have many adults with PhDs in math and science. But the skills of immigrants tend to be in a U-shaped curve. There are adults without high school diplomas, adults with PhDs in math and science, and that complements the skills of the native-born workforce, making our economy more efficient. So, and for example, if we can hire more immigrants at low wages, we might embark on more certain projects. That results in hiring of more native-born Americans as well as immigrants.
So it's,
if some bright... Yes?
Well, it sounds like what you're saying is that the specific part of the Senate bill, the biggest sort of most publicized part, which is the 13-year pathway to citizenship or at least legalization in this way, is the most important part, so that the 11 million people who are undocumented can work legally, and therein lies the economic benefit. Do I have that right, that it's the pathway to legalization that's the most important part as far as you're concerned?
It's not just the pathway to legalization. It's the fact that we'll be bringing in more people on H-1B visas, more high-skill workers who are on the H-1B visas, more low-skill workers on the W visas, more agricultural workers. We'll be able to not only provide documentation to the people who are here right now who don't have such documentation, but we will also be able to bring in more people. There's a global race for talent. We have a global economy. We want everybody, we want the brightest people to come here to the United States. We don't want to be giving someone a degree, for example, and telling them they have to go home. We want someone who's graduated from the leading universities all over the world to want to come here to the United States to work. The bill makes it easier for them to do that. That's what I like about the bill.
At the same time, as you know, there is a lot of concern both on sort of the liberal wing of the Democratic Party and even in the conservative wing of the Republican Party in this last debate, that U-shaped curve that you talked about leads to a driving down of wages for American workers. You flood the market with people willing to work for less, and wages are driven down for everybody. Isn't that a risk also?
So that looks on the economy as basically a fixed pie, just the way in France they said no one could work more than 35 hours, because if they worked more than 35 hours, there wouldn't be enough work for everybody, and we have to share it. Immigrants who come here, they don't just work. They also buy things. They go to restaurants. They buy homes. They increase the demand for other kinds of goods also. And this economic activity results in greater growth. So if you look at Charleston, South Carolina, and New York, at the end of the 1700s, they were practically equivalent in terms of importance in the United States. But New York had far more immigrants. That made New York into the financial center, the megalopolis it is today, whereas Charleston, which had fewer immigrants, remains a smaller town in importance. So basically, having immigrants expands the economic pie because they have a demand for goods and services, and that increases work for native-born Americans also.
Well, Diana Furchcott-Roth, in the minute we have left, you worked in the administration of George W. Bush. He was pro-immigration reform, and your argument kind of points up the division in the Republican Party right now. The Chamber of Commerce, the manufacturers, the agribusiness, business interests want this bill, and what used to be called nativists, essentially, people who want less immigration, don't want it. It's going to be interesting to see which side wins out here.
It really is, and we've always had nativists. You know, there were people who were against Italian immigrants, German immigrants. Now those are the good immigrants. And just as there have been always people who have been against immigration, I think we've shown that immigration grows the United States, improves everyone's skills, and makes everybody better off.
Diana Furchcott-Roth, senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute and former chief economist in the U.S. Department of Labor under President George W. Bush. Thank you so much.
It's great to be with you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.